Well, recently, our session adopted a new vision statement or mission statement or purpose statement or motto, whichever you would like to call it. I know there's different technical definitions for those terms, but we kind of put it all into one statement, a new mission statement for our church. And as we enter a new year together, I want us to consider that statement, unpack it a little bit, and apply it with the prayer that our triune God will refocus and renew our walk with Him, our worship of Him, and our witness about Him to a needy world. Our new vision statement is based largely on the Trinitarian blessing found at the end of St. Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. As believers, we know this blessing, we experience it. And as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we're called to share this blessing with our community and our world by how we live and how we interact with others and how we show forth the love, grace, and fellowship of the triune God. So let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. It's printed for us in our bulletin. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to Him once again in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, as we look into Your inspired word with thanksgiving, and as we consider who You have called us to be as the church of Your dear Son, grant us the help of Your Holy Spirit to refresh our souls and renew our vision of You and what You by grace can do in and through us to the honor and glory of Your name through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, perhaps you've heard some of these rather comical and, as I understand it, fictitious mission statements for companies or departments or teams within companies. One says, our mission is to complete the mind-numbing task that no one else is willing to undertake under the guise of consulting. Another says, our mission is to make everyone look bad by pointing out their mistakes and flaws so that we look better. Another says, our team's primary function is to produce PowerPoint slides that numb the senses and dull human thought. Another says, we innovate, collaborate, create, vacillate, procrastinate, pontificate, deliberate, guesstimate, and underdeliver daily to our clientele. And another says, our mission is to accelerate customers buying the stuff we sell. Or perhaps you've seen the meme that pictures an office worker who says, I have no idea what our mission statement is, and at this point, I'm too afraid to ask. Well, hopefully, our new mission statement is a little better than the ones I just read. Hopefully, it is memorable, but don't worry. If you forget what it is, don't be afraid to ask. As I said earlier, it's based on 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, as well as other scriptures, but it's also based on a question that one of my seminary professors asked us in class one day. I see one of my former classmates and one of my co-laborers in the gospel, Drew Goodman, here with us this morning. I wonder if he remembers this professor asking this question. But that question that he asked and the answer that he gave have stuck with me. He asked, what do you think is the greatest gift that we as God's people have to share with the needy world in which God has called us to live? And his answer was, the greatest gift we have to offer the world is the triune God himself. The triune God himself. He is the greatest gift we have received. His love, His grace, His free salvation, His presence, His eternal fellowship, and He is, therefore, the greatest gift we have to share with a needy world, a world made in His image, yet separated from Him because of our fall into sin. So here is our refreshed vision statement for 2021 and beyond. It's a statement of what we are already doing by God's grace and what we want to grow in more faithfully doing and fruitfully doing by God's grace in the future. Here it is. Sharing the love of the Father, the grace of His Son, and the fellowship of His Spirit in Ballantyne and beyond. I'll repeat. Sharing the love of the Father, the grace of His Son, and the fellowship of His Spirit in Ballantyne and beyond. You'll soon see this on our website and our social media, and we'll be making a point of coming back to it again and again, thinking through specific ways of how we're following through with this vision statement, with this mission statement. But this morning I want us to meditate on it and think through some of the ways that we fulfill it as God's redeemed people. So three headings this morning: sharing the love of the Father, sharing the love, the grace rather, of His Son, and sharing the fellowship of His Holy Spirit. First, our vision is to share the love of the Heavenly Father in Ballantyne and beyond. Children, do you like the sort of Buzz Lightyear ending to the mission statement? Do you appreciate that? In Ballantyne and beyond. And here we have in mind primarily, when we speak of the love of the Father, how do we do this? How do we share the love of the Father? We're thinking primarily of our message. Our message. The message of God's free grace to us in Jesus Christ. The message of God's love to us in the person and saving work of Jesus Christ. In other words, we are a church who has received and who delights in and who wants to share the good news of the Father's love to us in Jesus. In this regard, our message is contained in passages like John 3:16. For God, that is God the Father, so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God the Father loved the world, that's Ballantyne and beyond, in this way. He gave His Son so that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10. This is love. This is the love that saves. This is the love that redeems. This is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be the propitiation, the sacrificial atonement for our sins. This love is the most wonderful reality that we know as God's people, as Ballantyne Presbyterian Church. This love of the Father is the most wonderful reality we know. It is the most generous love ever demonstrated. God did not spare His own beloved, devoted, faithful Son, but gave Him up for us all. This is the love that has wooed us, melted our hearts, and filled our souls. This is the love that leads us to worship and sing of the Father's love begotten ere the worlds began to be, and love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down, and how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. This is the love that we rest in as God's children, as those irrevocably adopted by the Father and loved by His unwavering love, the same love with which He loves His eternal beloved Son. This is the love that the Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts, and by which He assures us that we are God's children, never to be separated from God and his love to us in Jesus Christ. There's that scene in what some have considered the greatest Christmas movie of all time, Elf. It's debatable, but it's one we watch as a family every year. But there's that scene, many comical scenes, but there's that scene where Buddy bursts into his father's conference room at his father's office building, and he twirls around and he says, I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it. Things kind of go downhill in the conference room after that, but that's a beautiful scene. I'm in love, and I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it. Well, that's the way that Christians feel about the love of God. As God's adopted children, we dance with joy, maybe privately as Presbyterians, but we dance with joy and we say, the Father loves me, the Father loves me, and I don't care who knows it. I'm adopted, and I don't care who knows it. I am loved, I don't care who knows it. In fact, I want the world to know this love that the Father has for me and that by grace I have for the Father. We live loved. Don't miss that. As Christians, we live loved. We live as those who are infinitely and irrevocably loved. We are accepted now and forever in the Beloved, in God's beloved Son. And so we live not under a cloud of judgment. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus by faith. We live under the sunshine of God's love. And this love leads us to love. We love because he first loved us. So our mission is sharing this love with others, as many people as we can. We have a finite amount of time on this earth. And so we want to share this love with as many people as we can. We want to show this love to as many people as we can. That is why we proclaim the good news from this pulpit week in and week out, such that you should be able with confidence to invite anybody to come here to worship or worship with us online. You should be able to do that with confidence, knowing they're going to hear about the love of God to them in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is why we preach the gospel of God's love week in and week out. We need to be refreshed by it. We need to be reminded of it, because the world, the flesh, and the devil wants to bring us down and whisper in our ear, God does not love you, he does not care about you, you need to wallow in your sin, you're going to have no victory over your sin. No, no, no. The gospel comes and says, God loves you immeasurably. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ. Look at how much God loves you. He's adopted you, never to let you go. Live in that confidence, live in that victory, remembering that you're more than a conqueror through him who loved you and continues to love you now and forever. That's why we preach the good news of his love. And that's why we engage in missions here in Charlotte. And we want to be open to God for how to do that more and more effectively and engage in missions around the world to tell the world of the Father's love for them, demonstrated in the person and sacrificial work of his Son. That's why we support Human Coalition and RUF and the Goodmans in Wales, and why so many of you are involved in mission endeavors around the world, such as the Kaczmarskis in Haiti. Labor of love, and labor of loves like that. It is to share the love of the Father with spiritual orphans who need his adopting love, the love that changes everything. So first, we want to be about the business of sharing the generous, adopting, transforming love of the Father in Ballantyne and beyond. Second, our vision involves sharing the grace of God's Son. The grace of God's Son. God's love to us, as we've already noted, has been most clearly expressed to us through the grace of God's Son, his humble incarnation. That amazing hymn that we just sang of Jesus sweet and Jesus mild. Your Father's will you have fulfilled. The humble incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, his life of love, and then his sacrificial death. Your death has ransomed our lost race, for on the cross you took our place. That is the grand demonstration of the Father's love for us. That is the grace of his incarnate, suffering, dying Son. Scholars have ruminated on the fact that Paul, in his Trinitarian benediction at the end of 2 Corinthians, mentions the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ first in this Trinitarian benediction. Normally, it's the Father who's mentioned first, and then the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. But here, there have been lots of ruminations on why Paul would have done this, but I like what John Calvin had to say about it. He said that the reason that the grace of the Son is mentioned first here is because from our perspective, from the sinner's perspective, the first thing that we see, which demonstrates to us the love of the Father, is the grace of his Son. His incarnate, suffering, bleeding, dying Son. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When through the gospel and by faith we see Christ suffering for our sins, then we see that God really and truly does love us. As we've mentioned many times, grace can be defined as, with the acrostic G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's free grace to you. At Christ's expense. God's riches, his eternal riches, at Christ's expense. That's grace. And we speak of this as God's saving grace. Because as Paul put it in Ephesians 2:8, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, the free gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So as a church, we boast not in ourselves. Not in ourselves. We boast in the triune God of grace. He is our boast. We delight in God's grace. We rejoice in it, and we worship God for it, singing "Amazing Grace." How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that is really the great goal of grace. It is to lead us to glorify the God who made us and who has redeemed us. It is to set us free from self-righteousness, from self-absorption, from self-salvation, from self-focus, and set us free to know and love and worship the triune God whom we were made to know and worship. Grace brings us out of the worship of the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I, and into the worship of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We want to grow in being a grace-saturated church, a grace-experiencing, grace-demonstrating, grace-sharing church. Another one of my seminary professors told us this. I think over Christmas break, I started thinking back to all these great things the seminary professors said. Another one, and Drew may remember this one too, he said, when you go out in ministry and serve a congregation, you need to remember this. Your church is either going to be a law church or a grace church. It's either going to be a law church or a grace church. Now, obviously, you need to preach both the law and grace. The law shows us our need of grace, among other things. You need to preach the law and grace. But at the end of the day, every church takes on a certain personality, has a certain feel, has a certain emphasis. It will either be a church that is heavy on law, or emancipatingly heavy on grace. Well, by God's grace, we are and will continue to be a grace church. Knowing grace, showing grace, grace to one another, forgiving each other, because God in Christ has forgiven us of all our sins. You know, grace frees you up to do that. Grace teaches us if God, the infinite and infinitely holy God, can forgive me, a finite sinner, of all my sins and lay all my sins on his beloved Son on the cross, and Christ can atone for all my sins and his blood wash away all my sins, if God can forgive me of all my sins, then I can turn to another finite sinner and forgive them of the sin or the sins they've committed against a fellow finite sinner like me. That's grace. That's how we share grace. That's one of the ways we share grace. And central to the way we experience grace, and if our first point was our message, this is our means. Our message is the love of God in Christ. Our means of experiencing the love and grace of God is through what we call the means of grace. The means of grace, by which we mean those ways that God especially communicates grace, the grace of his Son, to us, including the reading and preaching of the Scriptures, whereby we hear our gracious shepherd's voice, through prayer, by which we communicate with God, we cast our cares upon him, knowing he cares for us. And through the giving of our tithes and offerings. Believe it or not, that's one of the main ways that we open ourselves up to God and we trust God and we watch God work in our lives. And, of course, through singing the praises of God and, as we will today, partaking of the sacraments of God, the Lord's Supper today, but also baptism. Through these ordinary means that really don't look like much to a watching world, but we know that through these ordinary means, God shows up. Jesus is present in our midst. Through these means, he makes over the promise to us, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also. Jesus is with us through these means of grace, and he feeds us, and he restores us, he convicts us of our sin, he grants us forgiveness of our sins and victory over sin. He cultivates in us through these means of grace a life of love, service, and discipleship. Through these means of grace, lives are changed. And you may not feel it every time you partake of these means of grace. You may think, but you know what? Over time, as you avail yourself of these means with a willing heart and a prayerful heart, your life changes. Your life is transformed more and more into the image of your Savior. Lives are changed, relationships are healed, and greatest of all, the triune God of grace is given all the glory. We share the love of the Father by sharing the message of his love to us in Christ. We share the grace of his Son through the means of grace. And third, we share the fellowship of his Holy Spirit. The fellowship of his Holy Spirit. When you were born again, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the wonderfully kind and encouraging third person of the Trinity, came into your life to inhabit your life. And with him came the Father and the Son to dwell within you and fill you with divine life, an abundant life, a life that transforms you from the inside out. The Holy Spirit, who knows intimately and who has participated eternally in the fellowship or the communion between the Father and the Son, enables you as a believer in Jesus to enter into that blessed fellowship, that communion by faith. We experience that fellowship in a special way when we gather together to worship the Father through the Son by the Spirit, especially when we participate in the fellowship meal we're about to enjoy together. So the Holy Spirit enables us to live lives in which we share in the fellowship of the Trinity. There's a wonderful little book by Donald MacLeod called Shared Life. It's about the life of God within the Trinity, the shared life between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then how that overflows into the life of the believer. And the believer enters into that shared life, and then how we share that life with one another, and it is our calling to share that fellowship that we know, that soul-satisfying fellowship, with others through meaningful relationships with them. We share the fellowship of the Holy Spirit through fellowship with one another. We enjoy the fellowship of the Spirit through fellowship together as God's people. Sometimes it's described as sweet fellowship. There's a sweetness to the fellowship enjoyed by God's people. But we mustn't be content with keeping that encouraging fellowship to ourselves. We must be a people who are intentional about sharing that spiritual fellowship, capital S, spiritual fellowship with those around us. How? How do we do it? By loving them, by spending time with them. Are you spending time with unbelievers? Engaging them, listening to them, asking them how you can pray for them, loving them, showing tokens of love to them through a meal or through playing a sport with them, spending time, taking an interest in what they take interest in. Are you spending time with those who are struggling, who are questioning the faith? Maybe they grew up in the faith, but they're questioning the faith. Those types of intentional relationships with neighbors and colleagues and family members. And are you caring for them, showing them that you care? As Theodore Roosevelt used to say, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. We have this great message we want to share. Well, they want to know we care about them, and that opens the door to share the message. Well, friends, may 2021 be a year in which we know the love, grace, and fellowship of the triune God like never before. That'd be a great prayer. We want to know in a deep and transforming way like never before the love, grace, and fellowship of the holy, of the triune God like never before. And may it be a year in which we grow. It's not all at once, but in which we grow with intentional steps of faithfulness and with prayer in sharing the love of the Father, the grace of His Son, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit in Ballantyne and beyond. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.